about a month since I got the church, and I have missed it for many reasons. But your smiley faces or frowny faces or whatever are definitely wanted. So let's just go right into prayer. And we'll start. Lord, we just we thank you for today. We thank you for this time to hear your word, to see the examples set apart in the Bible, and just to find ways to implement them in our lives and to see your power, Lord. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Yeah. So, as I have been working on this sermon, I feel like every time I've been asked to preach, it's always like one of those things where you're like, oh, that hurts. It probably means that I need to delve into this a little bit more. So here we are. It's Jonah. Jonah is a short book, 4 chapters. Most people would know at least parts of it. And there's a bit of a conversation about whether it's like satire or whether it's real. And I'm going to just tell you that if it's in this book, that's my point of view. That's where I'm taking it from. So if it says it, I believe it. You can take it however you want that. Yes. So, lost my track already. but instead of like rehashing all of the whole story, I'm going to camp out in spots that were like, ooh, that feels a little harsh, that feels a little, hurts a little bit. I think we have a slide because Paul has led us to this, not Paul has led us, but the title of my thing is, but those people, seeing God in the people around us who we deem not worth God's love and mercy. Do you guys have any of those people in your lives? Those people that you're just like, ah, you drive me nuts. We have some of those people. I have those people a lot. So it's a good thing to be reminded about God's love. Can you see the next slide? So here it is. The memes. Again, I highly encourage you to have a meme war with your significant other. It is a lot of fun, and you will draw some humor that is well needed at times. So, and this is how I feel. God's kind of poking me in the eye and going, okay, wake up. So, yes. most of us know the story of Jonah. If we walked out on the street, I'm sure we could ask anybody and they would at least be able to give us a little bit of what it is. And they'll say, oh yeah, it's something to do with a whale. There's so much more to it. And I love it. I love the fact that I can be found in the scriptures. In my stubbornness and my unwillingness to listen. So, it's a short book, and it ends with a real cliffhanger and kind of a bummer of an ending. It would be like watching Star Wars, and starting Star Wars, and then stopping an empire. You know what I mean? Like, there's a bummer of an ending, and it just kind of like ends. And so in honor of Father's Day, and I kind of laughed at it, there was another one. Father's Day is coming up. Luke and Darth Vader, because he's still your dad, even though he cut your hand off. So if I just ruined the story, I'm sorry. That was a huge part of my childhood, was camping on Empire. I just loved that movie. Sort of one of those guys that loved the darker movies of that trilogy series. It's not a trilogy anymore. Yeah. Happy Father's Day to everyone. There's tragedy with an unexpected revelation at the ending. And that's the same as Jonah. There's tragedy, and then there's an unexpected ending. And it just kind of ends right there. In our lives, we all have people that bug us. And people that really just don't like for various reasons. And if you don't have those people in your life, I probably don't like you. Just kidding. I do, but I don't understand you at all. But seriously, there are people who can rub us the wrong way socially, politically, physically. We all know those people, the loud chewers. And you're just like, come on, quiet. The movie talkers. Anybody have a movie talker in here? I love you. Or, even better, the crooked political bumper sticker people. If you can't put a sticker on your vehicle straight, I automatically will discount your point of view, no matter what it is. Put it on straight, please. Just prior to, put it on. Okay, that's better. Anyways, that's a glimpse into my head a little bit. If you want a good view at what the world thinks, feels, cares about, take 30 seconds on Facebook. If you're not on Facebook, God bless you. But as you start to look through, you see people will just put things up with no regard or kind of like care about what other people say. And if I'm going to be completely honest, there are people who I just block. Not because I don't like them, not because I don't care about them, but it's because I do want to care about them, and I don't care about what they politically view, because I want to see them as God's children, and I don't want to see them as a Democrat, or a Republican, or a left wing, or a right wing, or whatever. It's all about the heart, and it's about how much stuff you want to, like, stack up against you, or between you, that, I want less of that stuff that I can stack up and hold myself accountable. I'm over here, you're over there. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Yep. I'm less and less enamored of social media because of people's just unwillingness to be wrong. Or even think that they could be possibly wrong. And this is sort of where we find Jonah. It's the glimpse into the heart is, his heart is where the story begins. So in verse 3, it jumps right in. It's like, okay, the Lord gives Jonah a voice and a word to Nineveh, and Jonah's just like, yeah, whatever, I'm going this way. I'm not going to walk into the wall this time. But Jonah is like that toddler that we all know, when you sort of tell him, nope, no, don't touch that, don't go there, or don't go there. We all have seen that person where they just are headed straight for that cliff, they're headed straight for that hot thing, and they're just like, I don't care, I'm just going to sit here in my stubbornness and go that way. Do you have those people in your lives? I know I do. And I tend to sometimes be that person. And Jonah is just heading that way. The Ninevites were enemies of the kingdom of Israel, and Jonah had a stored up hatred for them. We don't know what it was. We don't know what the offense was in his heart. That he was just so like, forget those people. I am not delivering this message. But we can see that he has his, he can't see through his past. Yeah, I'm sorry. He can't see past his own bottled up offense towards them. So in other words, he can't see past his own nose to be like, there could be something good about them. There could be something worthwhile that God would be willing to want to see them turn themselves around. Later on in the story, we see that Jonah wholeheartedly wants retribution for Nineveh and not God's mercy and redemption. He's sitting there on the hill. Just kill me. I don't want to be here. Is there someone in your life that you want revenge over? That you want redemption for the ill words or the things that they've said to you or done to you? It doesn't have to be a big thing, just kind of some kind of offense. It can be anything. Get cut off in traffic or, somebody gives you that look and you're like not really sure if it's a bad look or a good look, but you're like, I'm going to be offended about that. And I'm going to hold it. And it's just going to hold me. I worked retail for a number of years, and it just took that one bad customer, that one person that was just going to be the fly in the ointment and just ruin the rest of your day. And for whatever reason, sometimes I looked forward to that person, so I could feel like I was justified in being angry and just being a grump, when maybe that's not the case. So, I have an example of this, and I'm not going to give a lot of details, but I'm going to give the details that are really important. And I had a person that I was in a relationship with, in a work relationship, I should say, and he was another brother in Christ, and what happened was I felt wronged by this person. It wasn't just like one time. It was over a number of years. And what started to build in my heart was a real hatred and a real mistrust for this person. And it started coming out in different ways. And things happened and our relationship came to a head and ended very badly. And there were moments that I desperately wanted revenge and retribution against him. Held those things and just struggled. But there were also moments that God was tugging on my heart. My attitude was wrong, and I needed to give it to God because He was who I needed to focus on. Not the pain, not the wrongdoings, not the things that had happened. I wish I did this more when feeling wronged or actually wronged. And I preface that because, again, people can look at us or give us a word sometimes and we take offense to it, and it's not real. It's all in our heads, all in our hearts, and how we react. But at times in the last, I'll say 15 years, I've had moments where I've been at work and there are people that just can't seem to get along with or just, they bug me, they drive me nuts. And I've felt God's call in my heart to pray for them and to pray for blessing instead of revenge. And the scripture talks about, pray for the, love your enemies, pray for those who persecute you. And so there have been moments that I've had to feel like I had to just do that because I had nothing else for this person. If I didn't do that, I was just going to stew, and that would ruin everything. It was my humble attempt to change my focus from inside towards me, towards God's way of thinking, because He views us as all valuable. To change my heart's path from one of contempt to one of caring and reverence for His creation. I am either blessed or cursed with an hour drive into work every day. And it's quiet, and so I have times to pray. And for a long time, I would just pray, God, please bless those people. Please show yourself real. Please do this, because it was just my attempt of, I got nothing else. And the pain and the feelings were still real inside my heart, but the Holy Spirit was softening my heart and helping me to realize that it wasn't all about me. So in Romans 2, chapter 2, verses 3 and 4, it reads, "So when you, a mere man, pass judgment on them, and yet do the same things, do you think you will escape God's judgment? Or do you show contempt for the riches of His kindness, tolerance, and patience, realizing that God's kindness leads toward repentance?" And this is right to what Jonah is going, or what's going on with Jonah. Jonah's disdain for Nineveh takes him on a crazy journey. Right towards Tarshish, he selfishly continues to think that he's bigger than God's word, but also in his disbelief and disobedience, finds himself deeper and deeper in a hole. It's like every time he keeps going further and further, he keeps hitting these roadblocks, and he's like, no, I'm good. I'm still running that way. He continues to think that his selfishness will come between God and him. But in every time that he hits a roadblock, God's power is manifested in the lives of these sailors, and then again in the lives of the Ninevites. When he wants to die to avoid further obedience, God provides a supernatural way of escape from final judgment for Jonah. So when Jonah finally wants to just continue to, like, oh yeah, just kill me, it'll be all right, he's like, yes, I'm out of it. And God keeps going, nope, I've got something here for you. I've got something here for the Ninevites. And Jonah continues to be like, no. Do you ever feel like you can outlast God's patience or his love for you? Here's a little tidbit that you didn't want to know, but you will. I cope by sleeping. If there's something going on in my life and I'm like, I don't want to do that, I will go take a nap. I will go to sleep. And that's what Jonah was doing on the boat. Jonah was continuing to hide and try to hope that it just kind of goes away. It doesn't go away. When you wake up, it's still there. How about others? Are there other people that you are surprised that God hasn't lost patience with? When Jonah finally gets to Nineveh, we see that God's word has the power to change hearts and lives. That's exciting. It doesn't say that they hemmed and hawed about the words spoken toward the city, but that they quickly took it very seriously. It didn't even say, the video does a great job of telling us the whole story. But it doesn't even say that you should repent right now. It's 40 more days and the city of Nineveh will be overturned. But somehow those words had the power to make people go, oh, we need to change. And we need to change right now. From the king straight on down to the cattle, which is interesting. The power of God's judgment is real for them. And after their sincere repentance, the power of God's forgiveness and mercy is also evident.
Yeah.
That's the story in a nutshell right there. They repented and God was like, oh. Not surprised, because he knew, but he was like, I see what you're doing. I'm going to relent my judgment on you and have mercy on you. Jonah 4:1 says, but Jonah was greatly displeased and became angry. That's Jonah again. Just, he's pissed off. It's like, I don't think that's fair. Forgiveness is a funny thing. We want it for ourselves, but when it comes to others, it often doesn't seem fair or justified. If you get cut off in the street when you're driving, it doesn't seem fair. But when you cut somebody off, you're like, oh, sorry, I'm not from around here, see? I got mask plates on here, Vermont plates or whatever. Here Jonah finds himself at the other end of God's word. The thing he wanted to avoid is exactly what happened, even though he fought so hard to not have it happen. So, my example from earlier, about a month ago, wake up and there's a text message on my phone. It's a Thursday morning. I'm like, I don't recognize that number. What the heck is this? You know how you normally look at those things and you're like, ah, just delete it, or I won't even read it because it's probably spam or whatever. As I look at the screen capture, I realize who it's from. It's from that person. A person I definitely did not like. Definitely felt harmed. To my surprise, it was a text to say that God had impressed on his heart that he had been wrong. And he was asking for forgiveness. No, I don't think so. I didn't even know what to do. I didn't know how to respond. It was about a day and a half of me just kind of thinking about it, going, I don't know how to move forward on this. I can't sleep it away. I can't ignore it. I could, but it doesn't seem right. It had been 3 years since we had talked. 3 years. In the scheme of things, it's not a long time, but when you're harboring things, it's a long time, because you can just continue to... I can continue to suck those things in and just be like, yeah, I'm right and they're wrong. I felt hurt, angry, and vengeful towards him. But I finally responded. And when I responded, I was apprehensive, but I knew that I needed to hear him out. And so we set up a time to talk. There have been a few times in my life that forgiveness, or, you know, the saying, you're sorry or I forgive you, was really pivotal. You know what I mean? Like when you're teaching your kids how to say you're sorry and they're just like, sorry. And there's no real, you know, being sorry or the, yeah, I forgive you. There's no real forgiveness in that. It's just kind of lip service. It's important that we do those things. It's important that we know where our heart is and we are able to forgive when we need to forgive and say I'm sorry when we need to say I'm sorry. And I had to do that to my dad, for my dad. And so I understand the weight of forgiveness and the weight of repentance. And the weight can come off your shoulders. You actually feel it come off your shoulders. And when I had to forgive my dad, whom I love very much, but wronged my family right after I graduated, and sorry, I'm going on to this tangent, but I feel like it's important. My dad left my family, and my whole family walked away from my dad. And I was the last one to walk away and be like, forget you, you are done in my life. But God impressed on me that I had to forgive him a few months later. And if I was going to continue in doing things, that I had to be willing to let that go. And so I did. So I understand the weight of that stuff. And so that's why I took this thing very seriously, but very just apprehensive. It was tracking. So I was really torn up inside between wanting to follow Jesus' words, but also wanting to hold on to the past because it made me feel justified. We finally meet, and our meeting goes on, and he's talking about what had happened and how he was at a prayer meeting, and somebody out of the blue goes, if you have someone that you need to apologize to, you need to do it right now. And he said he instantly thought of me. And for him to say that was quite a big step. I get the sense that while we were talking that his repentance was genuine and sincere. and that he wanted to make it right between the two of us. So as we talked a little bit longer, we get to the end, and I finally was able to just, not just vocally, but mentally and wholeheartedly forgive him. That's huge. That's God working right there. That's God working in a person that I hated and showing him, here's the places that you were wrong. That's God working in me being able to be like, you know what? I've had all this baggage. I keep stuffing it in. I don't have to carry it anymore. See, yes, God is love. But that's like the easy part to say, and it's all flowery and everything else. But when it gets right down to it, where the rubber meets the road, it's the hardest thing to do. Not hold on to things that bother us, make us feel justified in our actions, and the words that come out of my heart. I wish that I could tell you that I was loving and kind to all the people that I come across on a daily basis on a construction site. I will not always respond in a loving way. I need to. I need to be that person. But we hold ourselves to standards that we aren't willing to give to others. We lock up the gospel or the willingness to see Jesus work in the people around us when we can't see past our own selves. And Jonah's mad. Jonah's mad because he knew that God wanted to have reconciliation and repentance with Nineveh, and he didn't want to share. Jonah 4:10 says, "But the Lord said," and this is right at the end of the chapter, book. "The Lord said, 'You have been concerned about this vine, though you did not tend it or make it grow. It sprang up overnight and died overnight. But Nineveh has more than 120,000 people who cannot tell their right hand from their left, and many cattle as well. Should I not be concerned about this great city?'" Who are the Ninevehs in your life? Who are those people that need God? That need to see the right hand from the left hand? Who, from the Romans passage, who need his kindness, his tolerance, his patience? And if we don't get led by it, not realizing that God's kindness leads toward repentance, if you don't know, you don't know. But we know. Right?
Yeah.
We know. Jesus is the answer for much of this story. It is encapsulated. We all have a part in this. Jesus was a real person, not a perfect, heartless statue. And what I mean by that is he had feelings and emotions. He had things happen to him. He could have held on to the bad things that were done around him or to him, but he didn't. He moved on when it was time to move on, and he forgave when it was time to forgive. I hope that's encouraging to you. It's encouraging that we have a God that is familiar with our human emotions. And how it works on earth, that things aren't always fair, aren't always right. God that had a close friend stab him in the back, deny him, that's our Savior. This is the guy that sits at the right hand of the Father and has the Father's ear. That sounds like a person you want in your corner, right? He knows and is willing to intercede on our behalf. What we see in the story of Jonah is a lot of stubbornness and just blatant disobedience. It's like, no, I'm done. And a lot of myself is written in these pages. But that doesn't have to be the end. We can be like Nineveh. take God seriously and humble ourselves and repent from the things that we can change and rely on God to do the rest. My example is a perfect, your perfect thing. God worked. God worked in the life of that man, and he also worked in me. We can be like Nineveh and take God seriously, humble ourselves and repent from the things that we can change. It takes small steps. Small steps. That's it. To quote one of my favorite movies, What About Bob? Dr. Marvin, I'm doing the work here. I'm taking the steps. Baby steps. Anybody understands that? Yeah. Baby steps. Baby steps. One foot in front of the other. Don't sleep it off. Don't wait. Don't hope it goes away, because it's not going to. If it does, it's going to be changing. Some of us don't want to make those things that we know God has placed on our hearts real, because it requires change and discomfort. Don't stay in that boat. I'm in the same boat with all of you. I know the secret joy that harboring bitterness gives to me. I don't want to do that. I don't want to hold it. Left alone, those things can destroy a lot more than just one relationship. Jonah was hoping for 120,000 people dead in cattle. Unrepentant. It can do just what the worm did to the shade that Jonah had. It eats it from the outside, or from the inside, and kills the whole thing. Here's our chance to let those things not define who we are. Our chance to see how powerful and compassionate our God is. And to have an impact on the world around us. Who is someone you could forgive today? I'm sure you guys could already close your eyes and be like, oh, yeah, that's a person. Who is someone that drives you up a wall, but also needs Jesus? Are you willing to take the step of faith to do anything about it? Is it worth it to you? Because I can bet that Jesus can help us make those steps. So at this time, I'm going to invite the band back up. And we're going to go into a time of communion, which we do